Welcome to the Home Study Course sponsored by the Healthcare Training Institute. This course is entitled Living with Secrets, Treating Childhood Sexual Trauma. Our primary intent for this home study course is to provide quality education to foster your professional growth. The Institute has provided quality education since 1979. Hi, my name is Catherine Appleton, and I'll be the narrator for this CD set. We appreciate that you have chosen us as a vehicle for you to earn your continuing education credit. The purpose of the course is to assist you in increasing your knowledge regarding treating childhood sexual trauma. As each case study is given, if the concepts seem to be applicable to your situation, I encourage you to turn the CD player off and make a few notes regarding the application of the principle to your setting. However, these notes are for your purposes only and are not intended to be sent to the Institute. Also, each track is very content dense, so feel free to replay the track to review the content. At the end of each track, a question will be asked. The question at the end of each track corresponds with the questions in your answer booklet. Merely write the correct letter on the corresponding line in your answer booklet. Each answer is only used once. Keep in mind, there is nothing tricky or hard about these questions. They are merely intended to verify the playing of this CD. Each of the questions that are included on this CD, as I've mentioned, is also reprinted in your answer booklet. These questions are sequential and deal with the section of content which preceded it. For this reason, to facilitate the answering of each question, you might read the question from the answer booklet prior to listening to the CD track. By knowing what the question is ahead of time, you will then know the content to listen for that contains the answer. So, just a hint, after you write down the answer to a question in your answer booklet, read on to the next question in order to give you a heads up to listen for the content that contains the answer to the next question. For the purposes of brevity, most generally I will use the term therapist or mental health professional. However, don't let these terms deter you from applying the concepts to your situation. When you hear the word therapist, if your job title is, for example, social worker, psychologist, marriage and family therapist, mental health counselor, professional counselor, resident director, program assistant, etc., merely substitute the appropriate term that is most meaningful to you. In short, don't let my use of the term therapist cognitively set you off track from hearing the content because your job title is school counselor, for example. I will also use the term client for the purposes of brevity. However, if you deal with patients, residents, students, consumers, etc., transpose client for the term that is most meaningful to you in your work setting. On this CD, we will discuss such topics as core defenses, 9 secondary consequences of childhood sexual abuse, family mottos, windows to the past, the healing cycle, releasing emotional energy, diffusing client anger, barriers to treatment, and inner child visualization. So, let's get started. It is estimated that there are 60 million survivors of childhood sexual abuse in America today. On this track, we will discuss the 3 core defenses of memory repression, disassociation, and denial, commonly used by children who are living with their secrets of sexual abuse. At the end of this track, we will look at the various ways the timeline technique can be used with these clients. As you are aware, the first core defense is memory repression. This occurs when extremely strong feelings of shame or horror are experienced during an encounter of sexual abuse. Douglas, age 12, was sexually abused by his Uncle George at age 5. He had no memory of the abuse when he was referred by Child Protective Services for acting out, fighting, and being repeatedly expelled. Douglas stated, "I often feel angry at my friends and teachers. I'm always put in detention at school." It might be noted, according to MSNBC News, the suicide rate among sexually abused boys was 1.5 to 14 times higher than girls in a similar age group. Reports of multiple substance abuse among sixth grade boys who were molested were 12 to 40 times greater than their peers in the same age group. As Douglas recalled his abuse, two major factors seem to have contributed to his memory repression. The first was his age at the time of the abuse. Douglas was 5. As you know, studies indicate the younger the child, the more likely they are to experience complete memory loss of the abuse. An older child beyond age 7 seems to use a combination of core defenses in addition to memory repression. The second contributing factor to memory repression was the level of the violence that Douglas was subjected to. Douglas had been beaten, tortured, and violently sexually penetrated. He subconsciously used memory repression as a means of primary defense and survival. I find the timeline technique described at the end of this tape to be beneficial with Douglas. The second core defense used by survivors of childhood sexual abuse is dissociation, as you know. For Douglas, dissociation meant that once he remembered being sexually abused, he felt emotionally disconnected from the experience. Douglas's dissociation included the memories of his trauma, but not the pain of the experience. Generally, I have found that there are 3 different forms of dissociation. See if you agree. The first form of dissociation would be for the person to go numb. As you are aware, when the abuse is recalled, emotions are numb, and it is as though the connection to the client's self has been severed. Douglas often talked of his abuse as though it happened to someone else. He stated in a flat, expressionless tone, "I remember my uncle hitting him. He wouldn't stop." Notice Douglas used the word "him" rather than "me." The second form of disassociation is switching off. For survival, Angie, age 15, who was sexually abused when she was 7, would switch off the feelings and body sensations experienced during the sexual abuse. It was a simple but effective method for her. If she did not feel the pain, then she felt safe, no matter what was happening to her body. This seems to be most common for very young children who need to feel safe. The difference between going numb and switching off is that when Douglas went numb, he would refer to his abuse as though it happened to someone else. In switching off, Angie shut down her body and felt nothing. The third form of disassociation is referred to as splitting off and occurs when a child being abused has the feeling of leaving their body. It is a physical sensation of disconnecting and moving away from their body entirely so as not to feel their overwhelming terror. Josie, age 16, stated, "It seemed like I was a ghost out of my body, watching my dad doing those horrible things to me." Think about your sexually abused client. Which form or forms of disassociation does he or she use? Going numb, switching off, or splitting off. In addition to memory repression and disassociation, the third core defense is denial. Renee, age 14, used denial by minimizing or downplaying the extent of the abuse and the impact it had on her life. Renee had been abused starting at age 7 for a semester by her gymnastics coach, Mr. Rogan. Renee had clear memories of the abuse and could relate in detail what happened to her, but denied that it had any impact on her. Renee stated, "It only happened a few times, so I thought it was no big deal. Besides, it didn't hurt and felt good, even though I was ashamed of it. I would hear my friends talking about sex and boys and realize they were talking about things I had already experienced. I began to feel angry when I thought about my coach. How could he do that to me?" The 3 core defenses of memory loss, disassociation, and denial often work to support and facilitate one another. These three core defenses ensure the emotional and even physical survival of the sexually abused child. Douglas's, Angie's, and Renee's powerful feelings during the abuse were contained utilizing some of these defenses. To assist these three clients in their efforts to bring down their core defenses resulting from sexual abuse, I found the timeline exercise to be very beneficial. Here's how it worked with Douglas. I provided Douglas with a sheet of paper placed horizontally that had a line drawn across it. He included the names of his family members and significant people with which he interacted, and the dates they either arrived, moved out, or interrelated with family, visited, or had any impact on Douglas's life. We continued to use the timeline during a number of sessions. Here's how I facilitated the completion of the timeline. I would ask Douglas, who on the timeline did he think of when he was asked about family? Who did he have the least or vaguest memories of? Who was he the most comfortable with? Who was he the least comfortable with? For example, Douglas's Uncle George was placed on the timeline at age 5. Next, I employed the three key words technique. I asked Douglas to list three key words next to each person on his timeline that described that person. The three words that Douglas listed after Uncle George's name were big, fear, and hate. I then asked Douglas, "Can you tell me more about these three words? What does the word big mean to you regarding your Uncle George?" It seemed to be the trigger that marked the beginning of the end of Douglas's memory repression. A key focus, of course, to my responses was to reinforce Douglas for his courage regarding facing his secret of sexual abuse. Douglas and I continued this exercise in several subsequent sessions by reviewing other observations about the word descriptions and the people who had the most impact upon Douglas's life. This exercise helped Douglas gain a clearer picture of his family, his past, and potential impact, jogging bits of memory as the information gained from the timeline was discussed. Think about your Douglas and his or her sexual abuse secrets. Would he or she benefit from using the timeline exercise? This track has discussed the three core defenses commonly used by survivors of childhood sexual abuse of memory repression, disassociation, and denial, as well as the role of the timeline exercise placed in assisting your client to uncover their sexual abuse secrets. On the next track, we will look at the secondary consequences of narrow range of emotions, emotional flooding, emotional numbing, and shortened attention span. Question 1. What are three forms of disassociation a sexually abused child may experience?